We're going to start probably lesson one on the elements of healing next month. Tonight, I'm going to do like an introduction to it, so you'll get it. So turn to James chapter 5. Before we get started in these lessons, there is a need for a little introduction. So we're going to just start slow and we'll end up speeding up. Okay, James 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered. And the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. And behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. Interestingly enough, as we stop here for a little pause, when you read the Lord of the Sabaoth, understand it's not saying the Lord of the Sabbath or, you know, some good God Almighty thing. This literally means the captain of the host of the armies of heaven. This means the commander in chief of the angels above and below. The Lord of Sabaoth is a very deep and strong power statement. So for God to be called the Lord of the Sabaoth, he is understanding, and this is a setup for the rest. If you miss this, you've missed something. This is setting the rest of the chapter up that this is who we are serving. It's not another God. It's not somebody else's idea. This is the Lord of the Sabaoth. He is the general. He is the captain. He is the commander of all the armies of heaven, which means he's in charge. That's who we're serving. We're not serving the idea of that or the idea of something else. We're serving that. Verse number 5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. We have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Now, all that we've read, Lord of Sabaoth, commander, way bigger than you, in charge of everything. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Hang in there with affliction. All this stuff is leading up to something. Is any among you afflicted? And this is where, kind of like the hammer is coming down. This is where the whole chapter before it begins to make sense, and the whole chapter before it was spoken to set this up. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, mark this in your mind. Why don't we do that in here? That's a question you're asking yourself, or at least you should. Why don't we have a bucket of anointing oil up there? There's a reason for that. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if ye have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And what a beautiful verse that is. This passage is talking about if you're not going to get healed this way, you might get healed that way. If you don't get healed that way, you might get healed that way. If you're not healed, maybe you need to forgive people, which, by the way, in my estimation, is the number one reason people don't get healed. It doesn't mean if you're sick, like Doug's deep in unforgiveness because he has a sore throat. It doesn't mean that. Or maybe, but yeah. So Mike is looking at you saying, is it me, brother? Is it me? But these are things to think about. They're things to ponder and count upon. So when you read this, it's talking about a level of your belief. If you are raised up in a church that they use the oil only, and maybe they're not having as much as something else, maybe they're not laying hands on one another as much, but they got the oil going, well, you're going to take confidence in that oil, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I am Jesus plus nothing. So what am I supposed to do if I'm on the mountain somewhere and there's no oil and my foot's broke? I don't like that stuff. I like it to just be Jesus doing stuff. Does it mean the Bible's wrong? No, it does not mean the Bible's wrong. But what this passage is, it's not saying if you anoint with oil, you'll be healed and you'll never be healed any other way. It's not saying that. It's saying perhaps you want to do that. Perhaps. Okay. If I said, like to Rusty, if I said, Rusty, the Lord has shown me that you have a blood clot somewhere, and you know me and you believe that I hear the Lord, would you at least 50% believe that that was true? Even though you had no manifestation of it, you could be, yeah, that's probably true. Because that was what they call it, builds your faith, but it really is not building faith, it's building belief. It's dashing doubt. So if I don't say that, and I just say, generally speaking, if you're not, it's not pointed at you, you may not pick up on that. And that's what this is talking about, lay hands, because we need to lay hands on this one. We need to slather oil on that dude. This guy needs effectual, fervent prayer right here. This guy needs to be called out. He's unforgiving. So it isn't that only one way we're going to get healed one way. Many ways. God is very careful to make sure we don't have a formula. And that's what this tail end of James is talking about. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. And then it talks about confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you can be healed. There's several ways this is saying you can get healed this way. You can get healed that way. You can get healed that way. And then as you read the word, you realize you could be dead in a coffin and Jesus could walk by and you're healed. You could be standing on the river and he could spit on you and you're healed. I mean, there's so many ways. That what is it basically ultimately saying? It's not about the healing. It's about the Lord. And once we get our minds off of what we want and we get our minds on who we want it from, everything changes. And that's why that little book, Prison to Praise by Merlin Carruthers, is so valuable. And you've all read it. And you can remember it and say, yeah, that praising the Lord through everything, leaping and jumping, praising the Lord, no matter if you get or not get. But there are elements to the healing of the mind, the soul, the spirit, the body. Sometimes people have broken spirits. They need to be healed of those things. Jesus saves is almost a cliche when you say that. You'll see it on old buildings, you know, the old missions. Jesus saves. But to set up the introduction for the elements of healing, you need to understand more than we need to understand, more than we do, about what this means. We hear this word saved so often, and I think that it's lost its true meaning. Does it only mean you are saved from your sins? No. It means you're saved from everything. And that's where we're going to go tonight. You're saved from everything. That's what Jesus saves mean. He saves you from everything. Every trouble, every trial. The original Hebrew word used to describe what Jesus went to the cross to do, it means so much more than keeping us out of hell. But the difficulty is we often stop there. I'm saved, I had an experience, but we don't go any further. We forget the abundance of the pasture that we've been set in. He went to save us, but also it means figuratively and literally to deliver, protect, heal, preserve, and make whole. That's being saved. It's not just that I'm no longer going to hell. It means that I'm no longer going to hell, but it means that I'm delivered. I'm protected in every way. I'm preserved. I've been made strong. And the list would go on and on if you did more and more word studies on it. And once we begin to understand what salvation is, what it embodies, the Lord of the Sabaoth came down and had a conversation with your spirit. And there's nothing that he won't do. The only problem is we live on a planet that teaches us we can't win. And so we don't. We are accustomed to these things. If we have a headache, we take an aspirin. But we're accustomed to these things. We have to get to the place where we ask the Lord, what's my portion today? What are we doing today? Because he's always going to do it. But what's your part in it today? Are you supposed to ask forgiveness for something you weren't wrong in? Are you supposed to be kind when kindness isn't deserved? All those things do really is make you more Christ-like. So I think we can have salvation with the side of divine healing and work on the rest. And I think these are important things for the Revival Center because, you know, you're bruised, and I gave you those bruises because I don't want you being grabby. I want you to be able to take it. I want you to be able to stand and not be a whiner and why didn't I get healed and that kind of stuff. I don't want you doing that. I want you to say, it's enough, Lord, that you love me. It's enough. And you know what? It is enough. But now there's this part where you got to kind of like do a slide dance over for just a foot. And you got to say, yeah, but what else is going on? What are you in provoking me to believe in? Because faith is not a currency that you can accumulate to buy things from God. Faith is not a currency that you can accumulate to buy things from God. Faith is your ability to know that you are loved and that you are a joint heir with Christ. And whatever comes, comes. Everyone is different. How many people were raised in the country? Raise your hand. Country people. How many people was raised in the city? City people. How many people were like rural, like you could be either? Yeah. You know, it's like kind of city, kind of country. How many people you know, grew up poor. How many people grew up with more than enough? But yet we're all sitting in here worshiping the same God, coming from different places. And I've said before, some are carrots and they think they got it all going on, and some are potatoes and we know they got it going on. And then there's the meat, you know, and I'm not too tough, and the other one, yeah, you are. And we're all in the stew and we're bumping into each other. And we got to get along, and if we simmer long enough, we'll smell good for the Lord. The stew, it's all about the stew. That's a big thing. But see, when you come from all these different places, you have different ideals. You're trained differently. So then you come into a place and you say, well, what is true? And because there's so much untruth out there, there's so many, if you're sick, you're not of God statements that happen, that we shy away. And we tend to be, it's okay. And so now it's your time to understand about healing. And it's taken me 17 years before I was going to teach you this. It's a long time. Remember back in the bank days when you wanted a prayer meeting? And I said, you can't handle a prayer meeting. You don't even know what a prayer meeting is. Little church people coming in here shouting hallelujah for 15 minutes. You can forget it. You were having prayer meetings on the side. I know you were sneaking around. If you're not going to do it hardcore to the bottom of your soul and scrape hard, it ain't worth doing. And so now, I want you to begin, to just begin to open your brains up a little bit. Turn to Psalm 34. People say a lot, if I just had more faith, if I just, no. Maybe if you could love the Lord more, because Galatians says that faith is activated by love. Some people are naturally disposed to wild faith. I mean, they'll believe for anything. It's beautiful. A lot of times they were raised that way, and they didn't have anybody hurt their faith. But sometimes we see to the other side, we're not happy. So we wait and we try to make up another story. Once, and this is, and you know I have a problem with this, like your salvation, your healing cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. But seemingly, we often say, well, if I just had more of this or more of that, if I had more perfect faith, if I was more full of faith, then I would be healed. It isn't the case. The Lord doesn't say grow in faith. He said grow in grace. What's grace? Grace is your inherited right to be Christ-like. That's what it is. And you can put that little sentence anywhere you want to in the Bible where it says grace. Grow in your ability to know you're a child of God. As you grow in that ability, all of a sudden you believe things you didn't believe before, because now you're looking at Jesus and not your problem. If I was to say, if the Bible meant like mercy, grace and mercy are not interchangeable. If it said grow in mercy, it wouldn't make any sense, because if I'm the judge, I'm giving you mercy. I can't grow in what you're going to give me. I can only grow in what I take on and I assume to be true. So when you read the Bible and it says my grace is sufficient for you, it is saying very clearly, your knowledge that you are a child of God is enough. That's what that means. My grace is sufficient is not a statement that, you know, somebody's beating you up over, like, too bad for you. No, the Lord's saying, remember who you are. That's enough. It's beyond dominion. It's beyond authority. Know who you are. That's enough. If you have a child, and the child is in school, and the child gets in trouble, and you are called to the school, and they say, who are you? What do you say? The parent of the child. Now, that child is either going to get blasted or blessed, depending on what they did. But you're bringing it to them because you own them. Until they're dead, you own them. You made them. They're yours. If we walk around understanding that's how our walk with God is, that we are joint heirs with Christ, and this is no joke. We have this royalty hidden within us, and not in a bragging way and not in a terrible way, but in an understanding of confidence that my God put me there. And I had my trials, as you know, with cystic fibrosis and mastocytosis and all these weird diseases that no man can heal. You know what? I'm like, well, why didn't you just handle it then? What is the use of 30 years of pain when you took care of it now? You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You could have just took care of it then. But the book of James shouts at us, doesn't it? Persevere, pursue, be afflicted, be joyful in it. It proves who you are, and not to God, because he knows. It proves who you are to yourself and to the devil. I met a guy, you know, the other day, and he's pastoring a church, and he's all downcast and all messed up. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't do it. He goes, well, I came asking you for advice. I says, well, you're not going to like the advice, because what you're doing, I wouldn't do. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you let those people beat you up. You let them make you disobey God. God told you to build an army, and you're not doing it because you're scared of the people. If I was you, I would quit. Go crawl under a rock somewhere, because you aren't doing it. You're letting them force you to disobey God, and you're not helping them. If you can't toe the line, I'm gone. I got other things to do. See what I'm saying? Because if I'm going to make you be a bad Christian, then I have outlived my usefulness, whatever usefulness I may have had. And we are that way in life. If you have friends that you are not helping and you are not blessing and they are not growing in God, then you are the problem, not them. You're the problem. Why is that person always angry? And they've been angry for years, and they're still angry. And they don't even try to suck it up around you, because you're empowering it. Because you don't understand, you are a child of God, and we do not behave that way. We don't need to get in the back seat of a car and slide over. Everybody else can slide. We're coming in and sitting right there. The point of that statement is the world will always try to make you slide over because you make them uncomfortable. Because you're just an inch too awesome. You are, I'm telling you, you are. And they want to take you down. And so when you don't understand who you are, any element of healing that we talk about from here on out won't make any sense to you, because you'll be tangled up in your mind and you won't understand. Grace is not mercy. Grace is you understanding you belong to God and you are a joint heir. Psalm 34 says this, verses 1 through 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. We are not beggars. And sometimes when we're desperate, we can be full of fear and disappointment, and it causes us to doubt, When I was figuring this stuff out, you know, I mean, 25 years ago, before I knew this stuff, I'm like, well, maybe if I get this guy to pray for me, you know, like, maybe I need to be humble and, like, get a guy, you know, get a guy. It's not bad to get a guy. So Benny Hinn blows into town. I'm like, all right, there. He's a guy that people get healed. I'm like, well, it's 25 years ago. He was kind of normal. Now I'm not sure what's going on. But, you know, back then it was like, Benny Hinn's coming into town. Everybody goes. So I went. Now, I'm talking about sick. I was sick. And I only had a few minutes. When I'd get this sick, I would pass out and an ambulance would have to be called. And I was coming up to that. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'm going to hang in there. So then he says, anybody who has a lung disorder, stand up. Yeah. Pick me, Bob. I'm real sick. So I stand up, and I'm like, yeah. Like a kid trying to get a ride on an elephant, you know. Mia! He looks at me and says, not you. You. And he swings his skinny finger across the room. It wasn't my time. It wasn't to happen. It wasn't coming for me. And I could be a bell worshiper and cut myself and scream and yell and dance and tell, you know what? It ain't your time. It's not your time. So then I thought, well, here's this weird false prophet. Maybe I could scrape some good that he's got on the edge, you know. I'll just, like, get that off of him. I go into this meeting, man, I'm hurting. I'm telling you what, I am sick. There is a drunk sitting next to me with a cast on, out of his mind drunk. And his little cute mother is next to him speaking Spanish and broken English and saying, oh, it's my birthday. He came for me with my birthday. And he's like, I hate it in here. Ah, stupid Christians. Why, when's this going to be over anyway? All of a sudden, he's like, wah! He stands up, stretches his arm. His cast goes flying off. He is supernaturally healed. And I'm going, sicker than I ever was. I think his cast stuff made me even sicker, you know? What's up with that? Then I think, well, you know, I really liked Rex Humbard. I'm like, he's a way to go. I mean, I like that guy. He'd always talk to me through the TV. You know those guys? So I make a phone call. Rex Humbard Ministry, the healing line. If you were alive in the 80s, you know about the healing phone lines, you know? So, yeah, the healing phone line. So I call the healing phone line. And they go, meh, meh, meh. The lady gets on. The line is busy. Please call back later. I can't nothing. So then this gal comes to town, and she's got a fabulous ministry. And she's, if I could stand up, she's got a fabulous ministry. And so she was down in Bakersfield. And I'm like, wow, you know. And all this time, I'm not chasing things. I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, I'm good. I am nice. I'm okay. I'm not mean. I'm doing righteous things. I don't hate people. I, like, followed the book of James to the letter. Like, okay, oil everywhere. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, so forgive. Everybody, no, that didn't work. Okay, so what's that juicy prayer? All right, I'll figure that out. Okay, well, I'm still sick. That didn't work. So I'm going down the list, you know, in James. Ain't nothing going on here. Nothing. So I go to this lady, and I'm in the line, man. I'm, like, in the line. See, you people don't understand. When I say get up to the line, I've been in that line. I understand about the line and the horror and the terror of the line and the goodness and the badness of the line. I was on the line a lot. I would either get slain in the spirit and zero would happen, wake up sicker than I was for the tour down to the ground. And I'm in there, and I'm, like, worshiping the Lord the best I can. I'm sick, man. She comes up to me, and she goes, hey. Hey, and she's looking at me. This is this exalted chick, you know. And she says, I want you to know, quit climbing, quit running around that mountain. Quit climbing that hill. The Lord's going to heal you, and it's going to look good. Coughing up blood right there in her church. Could you do something about this? Oh, no. You just praise the Lord. And then I read where the Bible says that David, he worshiped the Lord. He says, even when I wake up, I'm still with you. Even when I wake up. So I said, you know, Lord, I don't know what those guys are doing when they're sleeping. I don't know what David thought was going on. And I don't know what anybody's doing. I don't know what I'm doing. But that's going to be what I do. I'm just going to worship you and forget about all this. And I'm going to just figure when I go to sleep, you're going to pet me or something. It's going to be good. And you know what's funny? When I came to that realization, I started feeling better. And when I came to that realization, now girls, you'll appreciate this. I could go to bed with any number of messed up hairdos of any kind of anything. I would wake up and it was like I was on the Miss America runway. It's like someone curled my hair in the sleep. It's like somebody just fluffed it up. And I think, and I would always have dreams that God was just petting my hair. And the angels were just like, well, give her a little something. She's this poor little weary thing. And then, you know, give her a little boost, a little B12 angel boost. It was weird. And my hair did this thing. And I'd wake up and I'd be like, man, my body feels horrible, but my hair feels good. And ever since then, I really don't have to ever deal with my hair. I don't know what these angels are doing or what they're going on or what they did. I don't have no idea about anything. But my lung feels better. And my mastocytosis went away. And my chronic this and my acute that. And everything went away when I simply started to praise the Lord. So there's keys to these things along the way. I will bless the Lord, this says, at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Now, that's a pretty big ticket to continually praise the Lord. But you see, if you love the Lord, you'd do it. There was a video going around for a while. I don't know. It was this little kid from Romania. And he got, for Christmas, he got like a sock or something. You know, it was like a one thing. And he cried over it. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you so much. Such a humbling thing. And then it showed these other kids in some American state, like, is that all I get? Right? Not down in the downers, but I'm telling you, there's something to that, to be able to love the Lord anyway, no matter even if you get coal in your sock, it must mean he needs you to use the coal. He must need that. So I always think of the Shunammite in 2 Kings 4, or her son's raised from the dead. And 7 years later, the main scribe is in the castle, whatever they call it. And the king is saying, tell me some cool stuff that's going on in the kingdom. And he says, well, there was this one time, there was a story about a kid that died. And she took that kid up to Elijah, and I'm telling you, blah, blah, blah. And she was a Shunammite. Just then, here comes a Shunammite, kicks in the door and says, during the famine, all my land was seized, and I want it back, and I want it now. And the king goes, who are you? And the scribe goes, that's that Shunammite. A tragedy and a trial God deposited in heaven to be used as an ointment to heal another situation later. If she would do the elements of James before it was written, if she could be patient and long-suffering and get through that, then she could hold on to the fact that, you know what, someday it's going to get okay. Because my God, the Lord of the Sabaoth, is on my team, and that woman died a wealthy person. She got 7 times her land back and all the fruit that would have possibly maybe been grown on it. And it was simply because of the timing of it. So whatever it is you're going through, you got to just figure God's got a plan. And I tried this thing out with my life. And I'm telling you, I mean, I went hither and yon, up and down. I did all the things. Okay, well, okay, this one, maybe that'll, no. Number one doesn't work. Number two, cancel. Number three, check it off. Nope. I went through all of it. All of it. And they're important to know. But the thing that mattered was being content with my God. I was way more righteous before I got healed. I mean, when I got healed, I was a little ticked off, you know, at that point. Waiting. 32 years is a long time to be violently ill. And then get more diseases and weirdo things that happen on top of it. And then you get God waking you up in the night saying, you must go to L.A. and on this street, and guy's going to kill himself. You must prevent it. I'm like, I have 104 fever and pneumonia. Pick on another guy. I did not tell you to do it. If you felt good, I told you to do it. And I couldn't even take anybody with me because everybody would tell me to stay home. And they'd be Debbie Downer all the way to L.A. I'd have to drive myself. I can't even count the times that happened to me. What was God doing? He was proving me, right? He was proving me. He was saying, you can take that because I'm in you. You can do that because I'm in you. You have my grace in you. And man, it's sufficient. Let's get up, sis. Let's go. All of us have that. So when we go through these things, we have to remember that we do have that. Now, this is why I don't allow people to continually pray for me for the same thing, because it brings fear and disappointment. It brings doubt. And the Bible says, do not let your heart be troubled. Like, we had a guest speaker, and he says, oh, I heard you had a bad lung. You know, I'm going to pray for your lung. And I said, don't pray for my lung. He goes, but you're hurting. I go, don't pray for my lung. Nobody prays for my lung. I have a promise. I'm standing on my promise. Don't you make me blaspheme God. I'm standing on my promise. Nobody touches my lung. I heard God. God heard me. And we're rolling, and I'm content. And that's the trouble. Instead of standing on the promise and praising the Lord through it, we do like what I was doing. Well, maybe Rex Humbard's got the goods. Maybe this other goofball's got the goods. Maybe that guy. Maybe that. No, maybe nothing. It's a magic trick. You can't do that. Questions? So believe it or not, there's more. And we're going to get into some of the nuts and bolts next month. But in the meantime, let's read Romans. Now, for those of you taking notes, and you should, we're going to read Romans 5, 3 and 4, 8, 18. We're going to read James 1, 12. John 16, 33, one of my favorites, the suck it up verse. Isaiah 45, 2. And then Psalm 23, 4. God has a plan. We have to trust his timing. We have to be patient, and we have to joy in the promises. The difference between a healing and a miracle is monumental. A miracle is, boom, you got it. Like, your foot just grew. Your ear just snapped off, whatever's happening. You got it. Your tumor just dropped. That's a miracle. There's no managing it. There's no figuring it out. There's not even any begging for it. It either is there or it's not. And I know, as somebody who God uses in that area from time to time, you can't drum that up. Somebody will beg and beg and beg. It's either there or it's not. That is a miracle. And you don't even have to believe it. It's happened because God said, I'll do it for my own sake. He's still God, people. And then there's the healing. Now, this is the one that's a bummer. Because this one, you really gotta, you know, you gotta believe. You gotta trust. You gotta know you have that grace. You gotta know you're a child of God. You gotta fight the enemy hard. You got to tell them to get off of your back. You got to tell them to get out of your mind. You got to gird up in the Spirit, gird up in the Word. You got to memorize more scriptures than you ever thought you could. You got to be involved with all of that because you're holding on for something you've been promised that has not yet manifested. A miracle will make you feel better. It doesn't make you a better person. Whereas a healing will make you a better person because you have pressed yourself into the window pane of God's house. What can I see? Where can I go? What should I do? How long must I persevere? And in that is where the gifts of God begin to form. And that's another study. But the gifts of God begin to form as you're holding on for your healing. Through affliction, through sorrow, through persecution and terror, that's where the gifts come alive. And you have callings on your life, the gifts are made to push those callings into action. Without active gifts, your callings are dead. You can't fabricate that. You can't produce that. But through the trials that James was talking about, through being patient, persevering, waiting on a healing, that's where the stuff happens. Now, does this mean you should, you know, does this mean that you are of no value if you've never been ill? No. Does this mean if you always get miracles, you're the miracle guy, you always get miracles, you never have to hang for healing? What does that mean? It means that you're going to be able to believe for a miracle. Easier than the other guy who's sitting there going, it'll never work, I'm always sick, Well, that guy will work it out. But his faith level is different than yours. So don't tell yourself, well, I don't have to go through any of that. Well, consider it a blessing, Bob. Blessed. God will get you another way. Hang on. So. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What a great verse out of Romans. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. I will go before thee, says the Lord, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a beating weapon and a delivering weapon at the same time. Something that will hurt and something that will help. And if somebody doesn't have, you know, a physical ailment, maybe, you know, they're like persecuted. Maybe don't judge people. Well, they never have to go through anything. Guess what? If I could find a guy that never has to go through anything and has big faith and is awesome, I would like to shake their hand because that's one awesome individual. Just born awesome, right? Just born that way. And we're all just trying to catch up over here. So don't come against the Lord because maybe you're cut a little different or, you know, something's happening to you that's not happening to somebody else. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will guide you along your healing journey, whatever it is. If it's past wounds, if it's fears, if it's physical, if it's in your mind, we're going to get into that in next month. Depending on the type of healing you require, He's going to be very creative in how He helps you and how He fixes you. But He is ordering your steps, so you have to watch, you have to listen, and you actually have to be careful about it. Sometimes it may not feel that God's in it at all. I know I had those times. I used to say, you know, if you can, you could like sneeze, man, and it would be game over. You could like fix everything. Do a little snap, do a little Red Sea situation. Nothing. Because it was appointed to me to go through that. And if it's appointed to you, you got to just praise him in the meantime. If it's not appointed to you, praise him in the meantime. In the middle of your praise, you'll find out what you're supposed to do. Praise makes all the difference, I think. Now, are there parts of, and this is a question for you, are there parts of being saved in yourself from what we've done this quick foundation on? Are there parts of being saved, with big quotes, that you have not participated in? You have not engaged in? You have not received? Understanding that Jesus is part of our salvation, but also our healing, is a vital step to our restoration, our active redemption. If we don't go through these things when it's for us, we won't recognize it because we're used to being lazy and not having to think of anything. And then we only come to God when we're desperate, when we're used up, when we're done, when we're gone. So think about those things as we close. And I have these things I'm going to leave alone for next month. But I want you to think about that. What part of the Lord of the Sabaoth, what part of the active heart of God are we not engaging in? And there's these things that we say, you know, Lord, I'd like to see this. You know what? That's on you. He put it on you. If you have a heart to, I want to really see the lost get saved, go, all right, that's yours. Fast it through, pray it through, that's yours. And seek opportunity, and you've been taught that, seek opportunity. If it's, man, I want to be able to, I want people to get healed. Well, the Lord's obviously giving you the gifts of healing, and he wants you to catch up with that idea. It's not only time to receive these things, but it's time to give them out. And that's the place that you're in because you've done the work. You've been, man, you guys have done the work. There is an instance when people thought that Jesus was casting out demons. And he said, hey, this would be impossible because the one who put the demon in would not be the one casting him out. It is the enemy that brings sickness. The enemy does it. And next month we're going to get into a little bit of how does he do that? How does he get away with that? And we're going to tear Job up a little bit. And the part of that is because I trust God and I stand here and say, let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. It's almost like, I don't know, it's just stories from here on out, but it's just, we got to get on that. We've got to get on that understanding that we are above it, we're not below it. So these things are to be brought into us, received by us, understood by us, so we can give them out in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because the world's waiting. The world's not waiting for it to be done wrong. They're sick of it being done wrong. They're waiting for it to be done right. I knew a man that used to, he had a, I was a kid, and I remember being blown away by this guy. People would get on the line, and he would say, Jesus loves you. That's all he would say. And if he looked at you when he said that, whatever was wrong with you, you got healed. Except me, of course. I would be in the line, but that his like powers were gone when it came to me. It was, it was the most beautiful thing because there was no hype, there was no ideal, there was just Jesus loves you. And when he felt compassion, my dad began to know him and asked him this question, what's going on? He's like, I just feel an overwhelming compassion for that person. And often in the Bible, the Lord did great things after he felt compassion. he'd feel that compassion, and then he'd be like, oh, I know God's going to heal him because I love them. Boom, they get healed. A lot of things going on. So I'm excited. You're not only going to get it, you're going to give it. Amen? Praise God. Any questions? We're done. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together, Lord. I thank you that your Spirit has already sealed these things, Lord, whether it be online or here in person, God. They are sealed to our hearts and our souls. Grow us in them, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Praise God. Man, it's great to see you guys.
You have been listening to Reverend Sandy Kareem of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about Reverend Kareem or this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.